Hello, everyone out there. This is Trevor with Tea Time Reports. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the show. I'm joined here with Caden, and today we're going to be discussing AC Milan's recent victories and obviously their trophy win. Obviously, a lot to dive into. Before we do, make sure you guys are checking us out on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, at Tea Time Reports. All support is greatly appreciated. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads, at Tea Time Reports as well. We're very prevalent on social media and constantly posting pretty much every day. Also, we have a YouTube channel at Tea Time Reports. Like, comment, subscribe, put the notification bell on as well. It's greatly appreciated. Today, we'll kind of just dive right in here. Caden, I'll let you go ahead and take helm, talk about the recent success and the new coach and everything under the sun there with AC Milan.
Yeah. I'll start it off recent, briefly, and then I'll track back to what led us here. Fuck you, Inter. Okay, this is what you fucking deserve. Fuck you guys. Okay. Now taking it back to how did we get to this point? At the end of the AC Milan versus Roma game. By the way, this is a tough stretch of three games here. We're against Roma, then we're against Juventus, then we're against Inter Milan, our biggest rivals in the final. But after that Roma game, I mean, it was expected, at least from me. It was something I wanted to happen. The coach, Paulo Fonseca, gets sacked after an extremely unsuccessful start of the season with AC Milan. You know, we're in eighth place right now. It was not looking good. And leading up to that game, he had one win in his last four. So they just fucking sack his ass after the Roma game. And we bring in the guy that I wanted from the whole start. Not Thiago Motta. But Sergio Conceição. Once Thiago Motta was out of the picture for being a coach for Milan, I wanted Conceição the most. He was the only coach that I wanted, and we went with Paulo Fonseca, and we saw what happened. And now we're here. We hire Sergio Conceição. He comes in immediately, and the tide changes at Milan. He's one of those coaches that no matter what, you're going to hear him over anybody else. Mm. He's an extremely loud, aggressive...
He's got passion.
Passionate coach. A coach that Milan has needed. We have been sucked dry of passion since Maldini. Since we sacked Maldini, which is one of the worst things we've ever done. So ever since then, I feel like we just lost the passion. We lost motivation. And... now I think we can really revive it here with Sergio Conceição, and I think we have. In his first game in charge is against Juventus in the semifinal of the Supercoppa, and it started off a little rough. Obviously, this is his first game against one of the best teams in the world, so obviously it's not going to start very good. But I mean, that first half we just kind of looked uninspired. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People were still trying to find the rhythm. Bennacer and Emerson Royale were constantly missing passes. So it was, I feel like it was just kind of an all-around problem. But we come out into the second half looking extremely motivated, like a different team. So I wonder what Conceição said in that locker room. I wish I could be a fly on the wall during that, because you know he was definitely going crazy.
Probably crashing out.
Probably. He's the type of dude, okay? and we come out. Christian Pulisic, bang! And then they get an own goal. Crazy own goal, by the way. Like, Musa hits it off this dude. The goalie, I don't know what the hell he was thinking. He's way out of the net. Dude tried to run back and then went back in. But then we just kind of parked the bus and coasted through the rest of the game. And honestly, I wasn't dead set on Conceição after that game. I liked that he put us onto the final. That's super cool. His first game, we get into a final. But I thought we looked really poor in that first half, so I wasn't, you know, all smiles, all happiness over here.
Weren't expecting too much.
Exactly. And especially going up against a team that historically, not historically, but recent history, has really had our number. And sadly, it's our biggest rival. And we already beat them. Honestly, the best thing that Fonseca ever did was beat Inter Milan after... six games in a row of not beating them.
Broke that streak.
It was... Those games were painful.
Damn.
I mean, when I became a Milan fan, I didn't see us beat Inter until Fonseca.
Really?
Yeah. My biggest rival. And some of the games that I watched was 5-1 Inter, 5-2 Inter, 3-0 Inter.
Damn.
Like,
just domination.
I'm talking about bad games, man. I'm talking about shit that you don't even want to talk about because it makes me mad.
Yeah.
And then we get that beautiful last-minute winner against Inter earlier on in the season. And now we're in the final, and they go up 2-0. They go up 1-0 at the end of the first after, honestly, a really good half of football from Milan. We played with composure. We played, you know, confidently, and we didn't get ourselves in too much danger until legitimately the last minute in the first half. I mean, there's like 30 seconds. There's like 30 seconds left in the half.
Fuck.
Lautaro Martinez gets the ball. And it was like a blunder almost where like the team fucks up and the dude's just wide open on net. And so that's what Lautaro did. He just banged it home. And then the first half starts. I mean, the second half starts. And honestly, after Lautaro scored, I turned it off. I was so mad. I didn't even think I was going to turn it back on. But I get the alert that halftime's over. You know, I have to turn it back on. And 4 minutes in to the second half, guess who scores?
Who?
Inter again. Mehdi Taremi. We go down 2-0. Okay, 2-0 in a final. All right?
It's one of the hardest deficits to come across and come up from and come out of in sports.
It's honestly one 2-0. Of the biggest mountains to climb in sports. 2-0. Okay? And
it's just an infamous phrase, 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0, like, that's, like, fuck.
Yeah, it was 2-0, yeah. Fuck.
You know what I mean? Like, damn, bro.
Yeah.
Got outclassed.
Because, I mean, like, 1-0 is like, okay, I can get back. And then 2 is just demoralizing.
Exactly. And, like, so I turn off the game again, right? I turn off the game again. And then me being me, I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs. I got to turn it back on. You know, I don't care if... I watched the entire 5-2 game when they blew us out. I watched the entire game. And as painful as it was, I had to watch it. So I had to drag myself through this one. But then the 52nd minute comes along. Teo Hernandez from the spot.
Teo.
Bangs it in from deep, from a free kick. Mm-hmm. He tricked the whole wall. You know how most free kicks you kick over? He kicked under. He lasered it under. Everybody jumped up thinking he was going to kick high because that's what he usually does. I've never seen him take a free kick like this. And he just bangs it into the bottom left. So beautiful free kick by Teo. Honestly, his best performance of the entire year. And then...
In the final.
In the final. Yeah. In the final. And guess who's there to equalize in the 80th minute?
Who
else? Except the LeBron James of soccer.
Oh, Pulisic.
Christian Pulisic is the man. He gets the ball. He dribbles in. Teo Hernandez assist, right? He gets in the box, fending off the defender, just fucking smashes it into the bottom right corner. We're up. Everybody's going fucking nuts, including me. It was like one of those moments where I was like, this is not happening. Like, there's no way this is happening right now. There's no way we just came back and this is going into extra time. I'm fucking lit, okay? There's 13 minutes left in the game. And right now, all we have to do is survive, right? And guess what happens?
What?
The last minute of the game, okay? Christian Pulisic on the right side gets the ball. Places one of the most beautiful passes of the entire season, in the entire world, the entire year, okay? That I've seen, again, that I've seen this year. It was probably the most beautiful.
Play of the year.
It was amazing. And then straight to Leao. You know what Leao does? He kicks it off the ground over the keeper's leg. Tammy Abraham, right there, on a silver platter. All he has to do is finish it. He bangs it in. Everybody's going crazy. I'm ripping my clothes off. I'm like... You know, borderline, someone's got to pin me down. I'm going to kill somebody. You know what I mean? It was like one of those moments where you're just going absolutely ape shit. And especially because you don't expect it. And I haven't seen my team beat Inter for 3 years. And we beat them twice with last minute winners in the same year.
They're definitely feeling that.
Like, let's go!
When I played keeper, and this was like, I was youth 15, youth 16. That happened to me one time, but there was a different terminology in America. Like in America, we all called it differently. when you kind of just go dead weight, stop, and then just gently tap the ball over like that. Mm-hmm. Like I always used to call it getting plopped on.
Like you got. Oh, you mean like getting chipped?
Yeah, it's like a chip shot, but like he is plopping the ball over you. So yeah. I always used to call like, oh, I just got fucking plopped. But
yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty funny. But I would be fucking furious if I was that keeper, because if he just went in with a little bit more quickness and dove on the ball.
Well, he dove on the ball. Fucking, this is the ground. I know y'all can't see this, but this is for Trevor. He takes the ball, hits it off the ground over his leg.
Ugh.
Like I've never seen him play like it. Yeah, I've never seen him play like it. Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
Can't stop that.
And that's Leao. Yeah. So and honestly, we benched. He didn't start. He came in at half. Yeah. And the entire game changed when he came
on. That's crazy.
Entire game changed when he came on.
He's a physical freak, bro. Yeah. But there's just sometimes where I guess he's better coming off fresh, like
that too. Half. But also like he hasn't had. I'm not gonna say he's had a bad season. He hasn't had the best season. But there's times where he's so unmotivated on the pitch that he drags us down.
You think he's out of there? Probably.
I hope not. I don't think so either. Gladly, we've gotten our 3 stars to re-sign in the last 2 seasons. Teo Hernandez, Rafael Leao, and Mike Maignan. If any of them leave, I'm going to assume that it would be between Teo and Maignan. Although I love Mike, and I would never want to see him leave. And I do think that Teo, at his best, is not only our best player, but the best left back on planet Earth. Last season, he proved it. Last season, he literally was the best left back in the world. So he has that ability, but this season has just been an off season for him. So if anybody leaves, I would assume that it would be him and either Mike, because goalie is the most replaceable position.
Mm-hmm.
So
they get the trophy.
They get the trophy, and it is Conseil Xiao's second game in charge. His second game in charge, 7 days. Okay, 7 days that he's in charge, he scores 5 goals, he concedes 3, and he has 1 trophy.
Really?
Yeah. This is amazing. This is the first major trophy we won in 3 years. 3.5 years, baby.
That's crazy. That's a crazy drought, but like, I know. It's over now. So.
Well, you should have seen before, when I wasn't watching Milan, something called the banter era. Where we didn't win the league for 11 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, it's a dark age.
Pretty bad. We're pretty broke. And then, yeah. Yeah.
That's money does run football in mm-hmm. its own way.
Yeah, they were pretty broke. They got bought by the collective that owns the Yankees now. And we don't have much money now either, but like...
Yankees.
A lot better than... the last couple decades.
The fact that you guys are winning like with less though is, you know, that's it's a testament to this new head coach.
But honestly, I hate the Moneyball strategy because this is AC Milan. We are Kaká, we are Shevchenko, we are Dida, we are Maldini, we are massive great players, you know. And I feel like we can grow our talent here. Like, we definitely have some star players on the team.
Need to go elsewhere and find some.
But what I'm saying is, like, not only do we need Italians. I know right now the Italians aren't good. Right now, I'm not saying they're bad, but they're not as good as they were when Milan was in their glory days. And pretty much all of Italia's national team was just all AC Milan players. You know,
that's crazy.
Exactly. But we would have the equivalent today of $100 million players on our team, you know, spending hundreds of millions of dollars on players. And it's just not there anymore. The funding's not there. I feel like it will be. Hopefully some Saudis buy us. That's the plan. You know, that's like, to me, that would be most ideal, you know?
Yeah. The oil money, man.
It is. But with the money that we have, we've made some great signings in Tijani Reinders, Fikayo Tomori, Mike Maignan, Teo Hernandez, Rafael Leao. Rafael Leao is our most expensive transfer in club history.
Damn.
He's only $50 million.
So like, Italian soccer just doesn't have the same money as British soccer. That's what I'm noticing. Like
Definitely. But there are teams that spend big in
Milan's
not one of them.
Every team in Premier, though,
Oh yeah, you'll have a mid-table team that'll just come out of nowhere, getting bought by Saudi owners, and they'll spend $100 million in one transfer window. But it's on purpose though. It's honestly weird. If you sell something to the Premier League, the price automatically goes up. Because you know that you can charge more.
Yeah, they have money players. Probably a mid-table team in Premier probably has more money than like AC Milan.
And the English players as well, they get transferred like for way more money than anybody. You could have the exact same player be from a different country, and one would get transferred for more money than the other.
Mm.
Like it's actually insane. To Johnny Reinders on our team, if he were to go to a Premier League team instead of going to us, we paid about $20 million for him. I'm guessing they're going to pay about $50 million for him.
Yeah.
Now he's a $100 million player because of what he's shown for us.
Dude, what is money, bro?
It's
a different question for a different time.
I'll say this, though. Tidge, we haven't done a Milan episode in a little bit, and in that little bit, Tijani Reinders has absolutely just established himself as a top five midfielder on planet Earth. I mean, the stuff that this guy does on his day is just crazy. I mean, obviously he's not going out there doing it every game, but you'll have a game where from minute one to minute 90, this dude is on every inch of the pitch, making perfect passes. And talk about money ball, Youssef Fofana that we bought from AS Monaco. This dude is a baller. He is a top baller. I mean, he is putting out some beautiful passes from that defensive midfielding role. And he was, you know, again, there was Premier League offers from this exact player for $40 million and plus like a season ago. Really? And we bought him for like 18. And he didn't even really get that worse.
That's not a lot of money for a player, and from what I'm understanding, like, in this current market of like international football, like they're throwing tens of millions at guys. So 18 sounds like a fucking steal, like in terms of production, and
especially when you can get a player that will perform at the highest level against the highest teams, like Inter, like Wesley. Wesley Fofana from Chelsea. Youssef Fofana has put in great performances this week, especially. I mean, he was all over, again, from minute one to minute 90, just like to Johnny Reinders. He just has an absolutely extremely high motor, perfectly replacing Sandro Tonali, is exactly what we needed. I mean, Sandro isn't the most technically gifted player like Youssef Fofana. He's not the most technically gifted player, but he is going to play the hardest out of anybody on the pitch. And that's something you got to love. A guy like that, like, you just, bam, give his money.
You can't measure intensity or effort. So, I mean, that's not something you're paying him to do. That's just, that's a fucking cherry on top, honestly. So,
And talk about working hard. Talk about getting better and defensive resilience. Malik Chow, Fakayo Tomori, I mean, the new coach's defensive schemes are brilliant. That's what we were the entire season. The only reason we were so shit is because defensively we're trash. We're so bad defensively. And Malik Chow was making game-changing plays all throughout, not only this game against Inter, but against Juventus as well. And multiple games before this, earlier on in the season, he's been making great plays. And honestly, for like most of last season, he was brilliant during his first 2 years in Milan. He gets injured last season. He plays like he forgot how to play soccer, forgot how to play football. It was sad to watch, honestly. It was like one of those guys where you really love him, and he's a young wonder boy. At center back, you don't usually see a lot of those center backs usually get good in their older age. And he's 21, 22 years old, and he's 6'5", big-ass German that is fucking just a defensive beast on his day. And he was just dog shit last season coming back from injury. and Fonseca got a good piece out of him, and now Conceição is getting the best out of him as well. And especially with Fikayo Tomori, that's one player that Fonseca really struggled with getting not only minutes, but just getting solid, consistent performances out of him. Because we know what Tomori is. On his day, for most of the last couple seasons, he's been our number one defender, at least center back-wise, time and time again. He's just been there, been the answer, been the most steady, been the most consistent guy on the roster for years. And under Fonseca, he is just not even getting any play time. You know what I mean? It was really, really sad to see. And then Conceição's in. Seeing him play again, seeing him out there, the intensity that he brings, he bleeds red and black. And that's something you really got to appreciate when you got a guy like that. And, honestly, biggest changes that could have been made is get a new right back. That's been a consistent problem for the last God knows how long. So, again, spending big, Moneyball. We bought a guy who is a $5 million player for $18 million, which is Tottenham's former right back, Emerson Royale. I mean, this dude, everybody knows he's shit. We're getting in the transfer talks with him. Everybody knows he's bad, and we still pay more than anybody on planet Earth would do. It was the worst transfer I've ever seen. It was, oh my God. It was had me mad right now thinking about it. But he hasn't been horrible, but he's not a championship-winning player at all. Mm. He's a massive hole in our defense. And sometimes he brings that Brazilian flair, and he won't be playing bad. But other times, I mean, he gave up crucial penalties in games where it should have been winnable. And he gets, he's just a fucking loose cannon. Or he is so aloof. And he did not paying attention to what's happening. And he just gets burned. It happens so many times. It happens every week, I swear. So if we could get a new right back, that would be awesome. But, yeah, that's really all I got to talk about with the games. Moving into transfers. There's been one transfer rumor rumbling around here and there. I don't know how I really feel about it. To me, it would be all depending on money. If we're paying this guy a lot of money, more than anybody on the team, I don't want him. This guy is Marcus Rashford, the right, left, and striker for Manchester United for these last couple of years. I mean, he's a Manchester United wonder kid, and now he's 28 years old. Never really lived up fully to the hype that he was granted. I mean, when he was like 18 years old playing with Cristiano Ronaldo, you know what I mean? That was different, you know? He's a top fucking baller then. And honestly, for most of his younger career, he's one of those players. He was looked at like people look at Kylian Mbappe.
Hmm.
Just like a new generation. He's going to lead the new generation. And he's had great season after great season after great season. But this year and last year weren't too good for him. And now there's been loan talks and transfer talks with AC Milan and Borussia Dortmund, with AC Milan heading it all, us being apparently the number one runner for him. I would love to have his skill there because I know the skill that we can bring out of players. I mean, we did it with Christian Pulisic. We're trying our best to do it with Emerson Royale. But honestly, he could just be just on that steady, steady downfall like he's been the last multiple years of his career. So I hope that doesn't happen. But I would like him on the team if it's for a reasonable fee.
Hmm.
But anything other than that, I don't really want him. I think he'll hurt us more than improve us because he's one of those players that we can buy two or three guys with the same amount of impact, maybe even more, with the exact same amount of money that we pay him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm on the teeter-totter about that one. But that's really all I got for AC Milan. You know, big fucking W on the trophy. Fuck you, Inter. I'll be saying that to the day I die. And it'll never change. It'll always be that way. So this win, honestly, it completed me. It happened, and then I went to work, and I was a happy camper at work. I was a happy. It was one of the best, fastest days of work I've ever had, to be honest. It was cool.
All
sponsored by AC Milan.
Yeah, honestly. But everyone out there, you know, as soon as more events and more games and such continue, we will be covering AC Milan, or at least Caden will be, going forward. Make sure you guys are tuning in to the show on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts. Like, comment, give us a little rating. It's greatly appreciated. And if you're an AC Milan fan, if you're over there in Italia, you got some AC Milan fans over here south of Tampa Bay, Florida. So, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Did see that we have a bunch of viewers coming out of Germany and stuff. Just kind of all over.
Hell yeah.
Just a worldly thing. So, shout out to y'all. If you're into football as much as Caden is here, make sure you guys stay tuned for more of these AC Milan coverage episodes. It's greatly appreciated for all the support. This is Caden and Trevor with Tea Time Reports here. Signing off. Stay safe, stay awake, and peace.
And Forza Milan.